All right, let's call the special meeting of the Board of Directors to order. May we have a roll call, please, Laura?
Director Sesenia.
Here.
Director Gatchel.
Here.
Director Ohilski.
Present.
Vice President Forcroy.
I'm here.
President Womack.
Present. Okay, general action item. Provide input into the County of San Luis Obispo redistricting process. Recommend discussion and provide direction to staff. We have Kristen here from the county that has a presentation for us. And then I believe we'll discuss it. Ron, did you want to introduce it or shall I?
Yeah, I can go ahead and introduce it. As many of you are aware, the county is in the process of evaluating their district supervisorial district boundaries as required by state law. President Womack and Director Ohilski felt it was important that the board weigh in on this process as it might affect the community of Los Sosos, and that's what we're here to discuss tonight. We are fortunate, especially on late notice, to have Kristen and Morgan here from the County Administrative Office to provide an overview and a presentation of the governing laws surrounding redistricting, the county's process, the maps that have been developed for consideration, and methods to provide input and comments to the Board of Supervisors. After the presentation, we are asking the board to discuss and provide input to staff on if the district agrees, or the board agrees, that the district should submit a comment letter to the Board of Supervisors, and if so, what key points should be included in that correspondence. And with that, I can turn it over to Kristen and Morgan.
Thank you. Let me just share my screen here. Are you able to see the presentation?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Morgan?
All right, so thank you. I am Morgan Terrell from the county. I'm an administrative analyst, and Kristen is also an administrative analyst at the county. We are co-presenting, and thank you for having us tonight. Next slide. So what is redistricting? In today's presentation, let me cover what I'll be going over. We'll be covering what redistricting is, the laws and county process, proposed timeline and the hearing schedule, and then also public input opportunities. And so what is redistricting? The purpose of redistricting is to equalize population among districts to provide equal ability to elect a candidate of choice, or one person, one vote. The population is generally considered equal if the total deviation between districts is less than 10%. That deviation is calculated by taking the difference between the highest and lowest deviations using absolute values. Kristen will cover this a little bit more. Basically, though, our county's deviation for 2020 shows that it's 9.3% between the highest and lowest districts, and 10% is generally considered acceptable. So if you have questions on that, Kristen can cover that a little bit later. And on this slide, I'm sorry, Kristen, previous slide. Redistricting efforts must comply with U.S. and California constitutions and the Voting Rights Act. Diluting racial and language minorities is prohibited because it denies equal opportunity to elect candidates of choice. On this slide, you'll see cracking and packing are both prohibited because they dilute or concentrate voting powers. Cracking basically spreads voters out across multiple districts to dilute the power, and then packing concentrates parties into a single district to reduce their power as well. Next slide. The Fair Maps Act requires counties to give consideration to the following items you see on this slide in priority order when redistricting. Districts are should be geographically contiguous. The two districts you see here are obviously not contiguous, don't meet that standard. Maintain geographic integrity of neighborhoods or communities of interest. What a community of interest is described by the law is a population that shares common social or economic interests that should be included within a single supervisorial district for purposes of its effective and fair representation. And then further, the law says communities of interest do not include relationships with political parties, incumbents, or political candidates. The third item is that division of cities or census designated places should be minimized. easily identifiable boundaries should be included. And then last, geographical compactness is encouraged. Next, the Fair Maps Act requires a minimum of 4 hearings. One must occur before any maps are drawn. We held a pre-map drawing hearing at the Board of Supervisors in July to hear communities of interest input. 2 hearings need to be held before adoption of final maps, at least, and 1 hearing must be held on a weekend or after 6 p.m. on a weekday. We just held an evening meeting, a night meeting starting at 6 p.m. at the board on October 26th, and then we also provide a Spanish translation via Zoom for those hearings. Next slide. And a little bit about redistricting the process at the county. So on January 5th, the board directed staff to use a county staff advisory model for the redistricting process. This was the methodology used in the last few redistricting efforts in 2001 and 2011. This methodology uses staff expertise and knowledge of communities for drawing the maps and determining legal boundaries, legal advice, and outreach and coordination. The board also approved a budget appropriation for a contract with redistricting partners. They are consultants that are helping staff with data analysis, map compliance, and also a sub-consultant for outreach and Spanish translation services. For example, we've had created print and radio ads and social media posts, and they've been translated into Spanish as well. Redistricting Partners is one of the few consultants in California that works extensively with local governments and cities, community colleges, and other districts on redistricting efforts. Next slide. And the county, there are several county staff departments working together on these efforts. You can see the County Administrative Office is managing the overall process and public engagement, and the departments of planning and building, public works, council, and information technology are all helping in various capacities. And then after the new maps are adopted, the clerk recorder's office will implement the new boundaries in preparation for the next election. And now I will hand it over to Kristen.
Thank you, Morgan. So we had to wait a long time, but we did finally get some census data at the end of September. And what it told us as a county is that really a lot has not changed. Where our population has grown by just under 10,000 people and just under 4% total between 2010 and 2020. So what does that mean for our current districts? As Morgan mentioned before, the goal by case law is to have a total deviation that is 10%, less than 10%. With our total population of just over 279,000 people, our median then is about, if we were to divide the districts equally by 5, is about 55,841 people. The deviation then is the number above or below that median that each district is. And the way you get to a total deviation is you add the deviation percentage of the largest district and the smallest district, in our case, districts 1 and 2. And so our total deviation then is 9.3%. What that means legally is that we can largely keep our districts as they are. And we'll talk about that a little bit more as we move on. So in addition to the data, what staff was looking at as we developed staff maps was public comment throughout the summer and at our first hearing regarding communities of interest in our county. The most common comments we got prior to getting data were just about the general process, concerns about fairness and transparency. And then after that, we had 4 themes develop in that public comment. The first being to keep the town of Oceano in the same district as Arroyo Grande and Napomo as a community of interest, or to otherwise maintain District 4. The second most common theme of public comment was to keep Cal Poly within one district as a community of interest, and also to keep maybe both Cal Poly and the city of San Luis Obispo out of what is most commonly referred to in the comments as North County, and we interpret as District 5, where both of those communities of interest currently have pieces within that district. And then our third most common theme was to keep the North Coast towns as a community of interest, or to maintain District 2. That is, as you'll see later, in conflict with the second theme of public comment. And so there are maps reflecting both of those interests. And then finally, there was some more conflicting public comment. The fourth theme was to keep the city of San Luis Obispo within multiple districts and to disperse its influence throughout the county. So looking at what staff presented to the board at our second hearing, our first plan A is basically a status quo map. This is in response to the fact that, as I mentioned before, technically we're already under the deviation amount and therefore don't have to make any drastic changes to our boundaries. And so this map only makes very minor changes to update census blocks that were updated by the US Census Bureau between 2010 and 2020, essentially just the same district boundaries. Plan B is in response to the public comment we received in favor of making Cal Poly a community of interest within one district. And so it takes the entire campus of Cal Poly and places it into District 2. You can kind of see the colors here that means that District 3 scoops up more of the city of San Luis Obispo. And then also because it does that, it takes a little more population as well from District 4 here, but really it's minor balancing of districts. 5 takes over more of the eastern part, which was 4 before, but not major changes in order to make Cal Poly within one district. Plan C is in response to the comment that we should have both Cal Poly and SLO City completely outside of the North County District or District 5. In order for District 5 to lose that significant amount of population from both its piece of the city and the Cal Poly campus, some drastic balancing of population had to occur. District 5 had to come up and take Templeton from District 1, and that in turn had the effect of District 1 needing to balance population, which in necessitated it being pulled over and taking the populations from Cambria and San Simeon on the North Coast. And then there's some other balancing changes that you can see here where, you know, District 3 comes farther in. But really here, it is a drastic change. It's an example of how when you remove major population, it can have some dramatic effects elsewhere. And then our final plan was in consideration of school districts and trying to best align with school districts. And this was in response, not necessarily to public comment in this cycle, but in past redistricting efforts, we had quite a lot of concern about the splitting of school districts. And so we wanted to be responsive to that. Again, however, being responsive to those school districts did require some more drastic change in the maps. After we released maps, we received a whole lot more public comment. That came as no surprise to us. We still are receiving a lot of comment about our process and fairness and transparency. We'll talk about our webpage in a little bit to hopefully give people as much information and as many avenues to contribute as possible. But our themes of public comment have changed significantly since the publication of maps. I think in response to map C and D, our most common theme of public comment is to keep the North Coast cities and towns within one community of interest within one district. We also are getting general comments of keeping everything as it is in favor of the status quo or maybe even the plan B map, and especially to keep districts 2 and district 4 as they are. And then our third most common theme is, again, the conflicting comment of whether we should keep Cal Poly and the city of SLO in one district or to maintain the city of SLO in multiple districts. We did receive a handful of support for a publicly submitted map, as well as 18 publicly submitted maps as of noon today. We're not going to go over the publicly submitted maps. We are still analyzing them with our consultant. However, they are available on our redistricting webpage with the URL you see right there, and they will be discussed at the November 19th hearing. And just a note that the last day to submit a public map for consideration at that November 19th hearing is tomorrow at 5 p.m. We did, as I said, hold our second redistricting hearing on October 26th, and that was to consider those maps I just showed you, the staff initial draft maps. The board considered them and then provided us direction to present all of those maps as well as all publicly submitted maps at our third hearing for their consideration. And so that is our plan moving forward. Taking a look at our timeline for moving forward. As I mentioned, tomorrow's our last day to submit maps or comment that can be considered at the November 19th hearing. And then that hearing will happen as a special meeting on Friday, November 19th at 9 a.m. And then the last day to submit after that hearing, hopefully the board will narrow down the number of maps under consideration. And the last day to submit maps that would revise those finalist maps or comment for consideration about those finalist maps will be November 21st, 2021. And those maps, the finalists, if there are revisions the board directs us to give, we will publish those on November 24th. And then final hearing will be on November 30th, where the board will approve a final map or redistricting plan. And then by December 14th, we will have amended the county's ordinance just one day ahead of our legal deadline on December 15th. I mentioned our webpage. It does have quite a lot of information on it. And most importantly, all the maps that are going to be under consideration, you can find those here or here. We also have our hearing schedule and workshop schedule. Additionally, we have a mapping tool on our webpage that allows people to draw their own maps. And again, if you would like that considered on November 19th, please make sure you submit it tomorrow by 5 p.m. We have an area where you can look at the communities of interest input and public comments. All of that has been published. And then we have other areas where you can submit your own input about communities of interest or the maps or just general public comment about our process. And that will all be given to the board for their consideration. If you don't like websites, you can also provide your input directly to us at our redistricting email or our dedicated redistricting phone line. And maybe one of the most effective ways to get input, your input heard by the board is to attend a hearing and provide your comment in person. And that is our hearing schedule there. I mean, December 14th, we will be having technically a hearing, but at that point, the final plan will have been officially adopted. We're just going to be amending our ordinance at that point. So the time to be heard is November 19th and November 30th. And with that, our presentation is concluded, but Morgan and I are happy to answer any questions.
All right. Thank you for your presentation, Kristen. I appreciate you coming here on short notice.
Sure.
Does the board have any questions or comments? Let me open it up to the board first.
Yeah, Chris, I have one clarification question, please.
Yes.
Did I understand you correctly when you said if there's any comments that we want to submit for the hearing on November 19th, they have to be submitted tomorrow?
Maps do. And any comments that would be expected to alter which maps are shown, that has to be submitted by tomorrow. And that's because staff needs to have time to analyze and publish all maps ahead of the hearing.
But a general type comment?
General comments we'll accept throughout.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted that clarification. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Anyone else on the board?
Well, Matthew and Chuck have their hands up.
Oh, all right. Matthew?
Hi, yeah, I have a question regarding communities of interest and how that relates to minority representation. In going through all the material that I could find, in our board packet today, I didn't see any data supporting minority representation in the proposed district boundaries.
Yeah.
How has that been looked at, and how do we know that that's all equal?
So our county is somewhat unique in California in that we don't have large enough pockets of minority populations for it to be a required consideration. And so we were just relying on public comment and input to provide information about those communities of interest. I think it could be interpreted that the community of Oceano came together as a minority population. However, they didn't identify themselves as such.
Okay. But it's all in the census data. So did that ever get added up?
Like I said, because each district has sort of not a real imbalance of minority populations, it's not generally a consideration unless a community identifies itself as a community of interest.
Okay, so we just know that we didn't look at data to support that.
We did look at data and in population distribution, it just doesn't, the data doesn't show that we need to make a rebalancing in order to balance those populations.
Okay, I think that would be something that would be good to include just to show that. Also, my other question is regarding Cal Poly. Mm-hmm. Currently, District 2 and District 5 share Cal Poly, correct?
Correct.
So right now, it looks to me like District 2 includes all of the dorms and District 5 does not.
District 5 now has some dorms due to their new construction.
Got it. So, but yeah, basically, currently, as it sits, District 2 has more of the population in Cal Poly than District 5?
Yes.
Okay. That was what I wanted to understand. Okay. Thank you. Those are my questions.
Thank you.
All right, Chuck?
Yes. I was wondering how Plan B affected Oceano. I couldn't really tell how that was teased out in the maps that you showed.
Oceano would remain in District 4 under Plan B.
Okay. Okay. Because in general, I can't imagine splitting the North Coast, San Simeon to Los Osos interests. Anything that modifies that puzzles me. And that's why the attempt to put all of San Luis Obispo into one district and its effect on all the other districts is just, it's jarring. I forget the phrase you used. It wasn't hacking and fracking. But it's a tough question here. You don't want to divide up communities so that they don't have a voice. On the other hand, you don't want to draw maps to the point where they're so localized that you misrepresent. This is a tough question, and I appreciate the presentation.
Thank you. I'll just say that the city of SLO has such a large percentage of total population for the county that changing its districts is always going to have a pretty big effect on the overall map.
All right, any other questions?
I just have, just understanding the process a little bit. You're getting public maps and public comment. Are you guys going to whittle down to certain maps at some point and then have another review of public comment for those maps? That would be selection.
Yeah. Steps. Staff's recommendation at the next hearing will be that the board does select far fewer maps to move forward, especially given that we are going to have to be preparing legal meets and bounds for those maps, and that the board needs to make a final decision on November 30th. And so that will be our recommendation. Of course, it's the board's prerogative. And so stay tuned for okay. November 19th.
All right. So I guess I have a question. I heard that at the last supervisors meeting, there are a lot of comments on this map that's not one of those.
Correct.
First four, this Richards map. Mm-hmm. And that one made me feel attacked because it basically cuts the coast. I mean, it splits Morro Bay from Los Osos. And there you go. Los Osos, Morro Bay, and Cayucas are each in a different district. And I heard a lot of people were in favor of that. And I find that one shocking. So I know you didn't address it, but.
There are several maps that make some fairly drastic changes submitted by the public. We are still analyzing them and our board will be considering them. And as I said before, anytime we make a big change in one district, it affects all. I agree that there's a lot of change represented in that map. There were quite a few members of the public who expressed support for that map, and there have been several more since that hearing.
Yeah, I'd like to point out that we share an estuary with Morro Bay, We share an economy, and that we share like culture and climate, transportation, Highway One, and that I think this version would be illegal.
Yeah, so we're not able to take public comment now, unfortunately, for our process, but I would encourage anyone to use those methods I talked about before to make those concerns known.
Okay, thank you, I appreciate it. And I believe now we'll open it up for public comment.
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're on your phone, please dial *9. And if you're on your computer, please raise your hand. All right, Don, you just have to unmute yourself.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And thank you, Board of Directors, for taking up this topic. Our family has lived here in Los Osos for the past 26 years. You haven't seen me because I appreciate the work that you're doing. Today's issue is so important to the future of Los Osos that I felt it incumbent on me to bring some important points to your attention. You know, we're, as we all know, we're in a special situation. It's an unincorporated area. We're highly dependent upon the county for services, and therefore how we're represented is critically important. And there are two things that I really want to underscore here. One is, and several of the board members have already alluded to it, but I wanted to drill down further on it, and that is this communities of interest. Probably if you look across the entire county, there's no stronger community of interest in the North Coast and the integrity of that interest. Per the California Election Code 21500, that gets a priority. That gets a priority over and above jurisdictional boundaries. So when people talk about, oh, well, you know, San Luis Obispo should be an all-in-one district or whatever, that is overridden by the priority on there being communities of interest preserved. And this is the most important one. We all know why. You know, we've got the estuary, we've got a common interest, all the things that your chair highlighted. So it's critically important that that be recognized. On that basis, and there's a second thing that's really a driver here, which is that, and it wasn't really highlighted, and I think it should be, and that is that whatever, however the maps are drawn, they're not to be drawn in a way that creates partisan preference. And so when you look at the maps, only A and B satisfy those two criteria of keeping intact the communities of interest and not advantaging one partisan interest over another. C, D, and the patent map that's been referred to are all not legal. They're not legal because they do not preserve communities of interest, most particularly our own. And two, because if you really run the numbers, which I think any intelligent person could do, you'll see that they highly advantage the preservation of the current board majority. So on that basis, I strongly urge you to make very strong comments to the board, both so the board understands that these are not just preferences on your part, but this is what's legal and what isn't legal, and that you provide your rationale for that in order to establish a record that can be used in making sure that our interests here in Los Osos are preserved as we go forward with this redistricting process. So I really appreciate the attention that you're giving to this. Thanks for having the special session, and I appreciate the opportunity for comment. If there are questions about the written email comment I provided, I'd be pleased to respond.
And then there was one public comment that came in that just asked if this slide presentation will be available on the county website. And there's no further public comment at this time.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Don, for your input, and your email actually brought it. I wouldn't have seen it to make this special meeting. So yeah, I appreciate your bringing it to our attention. Although I think Marshall knew about it. So let me bring it back to the board. I think what we have on the table is maybe giving direction to staff for a letter. Do we want to discuss having that or what we want in it?
This is Matthew. I think every time we get in this, we are in the position that we're going to send some recommendations to the county. I really like to understand and make sure it's really transparent what, you know, what that nexus is, like exactly our board, what are, how it's our business to get involved in that piece of it. I mean, definitely as a citizen of Los Osos, I 100% agree with you. And I know that we represent this, you know, our district boundaries in many of the aspects of our community. But, you know, I think we need to at least say those things out loud. So for Chris and Marshall, it sounds like you guys set this meeting up. I mean, so what was the nexus between, you know, our board sending a letter of recommendation basically to the board supervisors for it?
Do you want to take that, Marshall?
Well, I can respond briefly. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that the primary issue was when you look at the community of interest, that's really the thing that was the driving issue as far as I was concerned. So if you look at the first two maps, the community of interest on the North Coast basically stays the same. But then when you look at, excuse me, the other maps, it changes. And then that one that was submitted the other day, actually, I believe, ties in Los Osos with the Rio Grande and Oceano and Avila Beach. Now, us being tied together with Avila Beach is just nonsense because, you know, we're not, there's no direct connection other than you got to go back to Highway 101 and then go south and then go over. So the idea is having a community of interest that has quote unquote common interest makes the most sense rather than tying us into Avila Beach. So that was really, I think, the matter that brought it forward in my mind was just, we need to have a discussion about what community interest Los Osos has, particularly as I think Chuck had mentioned about us getting services from the county. And we need to be able to have a compatible community interest where we can work together, because people in Avila Beach, them getting service from the county is entirely different from the kind of services that on the North Coast we need. So that's what triggered this in my mind.
Thanks, Marshall. Yeah, I really agree with that. And I see this as preserving that North Coast community of interest and that being necessary for the success of this district and dealing with water issues going forward.
All right. Well, I appreciate, Matthew, you bringing up that we should state what our interest is. And thank you, Marshall, for putting it so well.
Chris, before we move on, out of respect for Kristen and Morgan, if we don't need them any longer, I'd like to cut them loose.
Oh, that's a good idea. Does anyone have any further questions for Kristen and Morgan?
I don't for them, but I would like to say I'm glad that we added this agenda item, particularly, and Matthew mentioned it, we're going to be maybe talking to Morro Bay seriously about water issues in the near future. And anything that would separate us into different supervisorial districts would be just insane. Thank you, Marshall, but I think Dawn kind of brought those points up about county services. A or B, I'm happy with, I guess, either of those. Maybe I'd like to think a little bit more about B, but any of the others, I just have a serious problem with disrupting the community of interest that we have on the North Coast. Yeah,
I would agree with that. So you would like to state, if we do a letter, that you have a preference for keeping the status quo and you prefer maps A or B?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, A is status quo. B, there were some slight changes, I think, that added some of the city out to District 2. And that seems the most reasonable if there has to be a change. But down to Avila, Pismo, Oceano, that makes no sense to me. We don't have any outlet stores.
In response to Ron's comment, I'd like to thank Kristen and Morgan for their presentation. And then I think, Christine, if there's no questions, you might as well let them get home.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm sure it's been a long day for you too. So we really appreciate you coming and giving the presentation.
You're welcome.
Discussing.
You're welcome. And I did hear a request for the slides. So Ron, I've emailed those to you to share. So
thank you. I just saw that.
Great. Well, take care, everyone. Thank you.
Thanks.
You.
And thanks, Ron, for bringing that up. All right.
I guess also from my point of view, just to jump in, you know, I agree in not separating the North Coast as well, in agreement with the, everybody's comments on that, especially as we tackle water issues and, you know, being so connected to Morro Bay too, separating that definitely does not make sense at all to me. I guess from a letter perspective, kind of on Matthew's question, is that something that we would deliver as a public comment to the board of directors, I mean, to the supervisors during their meeting, or is that something we would just send off and they can review it on their own? Or do we want to, from that process standpoint?
Chris, I was going to make a suggestion in response to that, because I've been trying to figure out how we can get this done. And that's why I asked my very first question about the timing.
That was a good question.
So I think what we need to do, and this sort of goes along with part of what Don Maruska sent in the email that we all got, I think. But I think what we should do is tell staff, you know, our comments on the map, like we would prefer the first two because we want to have the community of interest, the North Coast, stay intact, and then designate one or two board members to testify in person on the 19th. That's how I would think would be the most productive way to do this.
Oh, that sounds good.
Or have Ron go talk in person. But I think, you know, however we want to do it, but I think we need to submit something right now on the maps and then have somebody show up or somebody's show up in person on the 19th.
Okay, sounds good. Marshall, are you willing to show up? And I feel like you speak more eloquently than I do. And I'd be happy to go.
I have to look at my calendar to tell you the truth. I haven't.
Okay, I'm happy to go. I can, I guess I could practice. But also, Ron, would you be able to go? I think you would be a great asset to have at the hearing as well.
Yes. Yes.
You're checking your schedule too. So.
Yeah. Is that 9 a.m. on the 19th?
Yes.
And then, you know, I'm happy to have any and all board of directors that want to come.
I'm going to try and get there. I have a dental appointment to get my teeth cleaned at 9 a.m. If maybe I can't get on for testimony until 10, I'll be polished and ready to go.
All right. That sounds good.
Right around the corner.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can show up in person, but I'd like to have basically as many board members as we can. You know what I'm saying? I want to be able to have people nod their head in agreement.
Oh, I'm with you. I'll take that job.
Yes.
And getting back to the letter, maybe we do want to be specific. I mean, going back to what Matthew says, telling them how it's our business, I think talking about our trying to connect to or make our water supply more robust, that we might be working with Morro Bay, and that to split us into two different districts would be really atrocious. Yes. Maybe you don't need to word it like that, but.
Well, somebody is going to have to word this letter and submit it tomorrow.
Okay, well, I see this.
The comments on the map is what I'm talking about.
Well, I think the comments on the map.
Wasn't that if you're going to submit a new map, it's got to be by tomorrow.
Right.
Well, we're not submitting a map. Yeah, I don't exactly. feel we're not doing that.
We're I think not we have time.
No, but I mean, I think the first two maps would be all right. But I think we're supposed to
can
also
we have Ron
provide.
Can we have Ron confirm that in the morning? Because I don't want to miss the opportunity to have a written comment.
I'll confirm, but I agree that Morgan or Kristen said that comments could go up till the meeting date.
Right. Or everything except for maps. And then I agree, but I just don't want any confusion.
Okay. I'll check that, Marshall.
Yeah. I mean, I think we should direct our staff to draft a letter. And I think we should go from there. From my standpoint, I'm not at all compelled that we need to actually change the Board of Supervisor district boundaries. I think our letter needs to really emphasize that we want to preserve the North Coast community of interest. We in no way want to be separated from our neighbors to the north. And, you know, if we want to be specific on the maps, I just don't support changing any of those boundaries. I think the plan A is more than adequate.
All right. I like that. That sounds like a clear direction for a letter. Does anyone else want to add anything?
Can I just weigh in there real quick? The reason I supported in the staff report plan B is it was really what happened when Cal Poly added dorms out there on Grand Avenue. They happened to be in District 5. So plan B really just kind of cleans up Cal Poly. And that was the basis for my recommendation.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why I questioned B, because it doesn't change any of the boundaries. It changes a boundary, but it doesn't change huge communities. It's new dorms. And what do you do with the new dorms?
And, you know, I think it would be appropriate to say either map A or B if you want to keep it more broad.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, we could prefer B, but I'd be happy with either of those.
Have to have one of those two. Have to.
All right. Ron, do you feel like you have enough to write a letter?
Yeah, you know, I know we've got the community of interest. Definitely. Some of the other things I noted were our economy with in relationship with Morro Bay in particular, and the water service, water issues, I should say, that are coming up. Was there anything else? I thought I might have heard a couple of other really
good transportation. We share Highway 1. I mean, I think I was economy. I think our economies are linked. Economy, culture, climate, transportation, definitely water.
And not that this is relevant to what you're doing, but our chamber and Morro Bay Chamber are looking at intertwining each other with having a joint chamber for both cities.
Oh, and let me add, like, we share an estuary and
That was such an important point. I'm glad you went right to it. That would be illegal, that map that citizens submitted.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of the public comments, is if we want to put in there with our preference on if these maps are illegal, like some of the other maps are illegal because of vital interest, that language or not.
Yeah, I think Don had some really great points in his letter that we could borrow.
I just want to make sure we don't go too political on it and stick to these points that we're making.
Influence, the commonality. Morro Bay has got as many Republicans as they do Democrats. I bet Cambria is about the same. Morro Bay's probably got more. So it's not a political issue. It's when I want to go get a burrito somewhere other than in Los Osos, where do I go? I don't go to Oceano.
The North Coast needs to remain one district.
Yes.
Okay. Great. That's exactly what I needed. All those other points, and I'll try to weave those into the letter.
Thank you. Okay, shall I end this part of the meeting? And we will
have to do public comment for items not on the agenda.
Oh, okay, thank you, Laura. Let's open it up for public comments not on the agenda.
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're on your phone, *9, and if you're on your computer, please raise your hand. There's no public comment at this time.
All right, let's adjourn this meeting and I'll see everyone at 6 o'clock.
15 minutes. Thanks everyone. 14.
Thank you.
Do we use the same link?
Let's call this meeting to order at 6:01. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Sesenia.
Here.
Director Gatchel.
Here.
Director Ohilski.
Present.
Vice President Forcroy.
I'm here.
President Womack.
Present. Okay, first on the agenda is our recognition for of service to Los Osos CSD of B. Jansen, who served on the Financial Advisory Committee. Oh, do you have a presentation, Ron?
I don't have a presentation per se, but I did, I'll show you here. We do have a certificate to give B, which we'll get off to her, but it basically says, awarded to B. Jansen in recognition of your service as a member of the Finance Advisory Committee and your valuable contributions to the citizens of Los Osos. And it's signed by our President Womack and myself, General Manager Munns. And I know both Christine and Marshall, you served with B, and I don't know if you'd like to say a few words.
I'll let Christine do that. She's a financial expert.
Well, I served with B on the Baywood PTA, so I knew her before she was on the finance committee, and she serves in many capacities. She's now on the statewide or the county PTA. I believe she's president, and she gives a lot to this community, and I appreciate her time and service to the Finance Advisory Committee, and I will miss her, and it'd be tough to replace her, but I understand that she has to reprioritize, so I get it. Makes me sad, but I'm very glad, Ron, that we're writing this, giving some recognition for her service. I appreciate the service of all the people that serve on our committees.
And I'll agree 100% with what Christine said, being the chair of the FAC before she was.
And as a staff member, I want to thank her for the years that I was working with her, because the Finance Committee is invaluable to me. So thank you, B.
Oh, does Chuck? It was Chuck.
Yeah, as the board member who appointed her to the committee, I would like to say thank you, B. I do appreciate that. It's a reminder that we have an opening on the Financial Advisory Services Committee. And if anybody would like to apply, please reach out to the district.
All right. Thank you. Next, we have the public hearing to receive input on the from the community regarding voting area scenarios.
To interject, but I have to take public comment on all items on the agenda.
Oh, thank you. Okay, let's see if there's any public comment.
If you'd like to make a public comment on item 2, please raise your hand. There's no public comment. Thank you, Chris.
I'm glad you said that, Laura, because I was going to say it. You beat me to the punch.
She keeps us on the straight and narrow.
Okay, so let's go back to the public hearing on district-based election systems. Do we have a presentation, or did you want to introduce it on?
Let me just do a quick introduction to what we're doing tonight. Of course, I'll go through quickly the background. Started this back in January. We've had 3 public hearings starting back in August. We had our first map scenarios presented at our October 7th meeting, and this tonight is the continuation of that effort. Next slide, please. So tonight we'll be looking at the original maps 1, 2, and 3, and the revised ones, which are 2A, 2B, and 2C. And we'll be asking for comments again so we can narrow it down to hopefully a final map. And in terms of our timing, that would then be approved at our December meeting. So with that, I'll turn it over to David and Adam.
All right, thank you. I can share a screen if that helps.
Yes.
That would be great.
I'm sorry, Andrew.
Let's see if this works. Can you all see this?
There it is.
The presentation? All right.
Yes.
Well, good evening, members of the board. I have Andrew here from Cooperative Strategies as well. As you know, he presented last time, and we just wanted to make sure that we had all our T's crossed and I's dotted as we head into this presentation. The maps were provided, but this presentation just has some of the factual details. And as Ron had said, you know, we're at this point here with our second public hearing on the scenarios. And the intention is that we come out of this with a popular map that you might want to go with, or maybe there's a slight modification still, and we can ask questions throughout. But I did want to bring to your attention the considerations. As you know, this comes up every meeting, what we looked into. I want to circle back at least on, we're going to go through the maps in sequential order. So we'll start with scenario one, which we presented at the last meeting. I think we got a good sense of what you guys thought about that particular map. So we focused more on scenario two. And again, each of these maps has the same data that it was tied to per the original presentation. So this was the scenario one map and the background to it. It wasn't heavily favored. So we focused more on two, where I believe the main feedback was that, you know, some of these things, you want to keep them nice and tidy in neighborhoods as you know them. And, you know, maybe in some cases, Los Sosos Valley Road isn't, you know, the best divider that we had in some of our first examples. So this is the background of scenario two. Again, there was some positive feedback that we can probably work with this if we made some modifications, and we did. And before I go over those scenarios, we had a 2A, 2B, and 2C, three different versions. I wanted to bring your attention that we also still have scenario three to consider, which wasn't ruled out from the first meeting. And this is scenario three. I know that there was some commentary on why are some of these census blocks over here, and the background is, and we can go back and forth whenever you want in any of these scenarios. The background to scenario three was placed here. The variance in this area is 8.7%. And again, I should probably back up a little and say, what was the ideal population of each of these areas? Is a little more than 14,000. So when you divide that by five directors, you have about 25 as the ideal number per area. So that said, I wanted to start with the new scenarios that we came up with. And this is one of them. You guys, can you see it okay? You mean it larger? Do you have the larger versions in front of you? Would anyone like this bigger?
We have them in our agenda packets.
Okay, good. So this is scenario 2A, which was, there are some things tidied up. There are some things that shifted. Obviously we have, you know, a vacant area here, area three. Area one is the, you know, southern portion here of your boundaries. Two and four here were just kind of, you know, isolated on their own based on the neighborhoods and areas we had received feedback from. And of course, in this particular scenario, there's one vacancy, there's one incumbent, there's another vacancy here, and then area four and area two have two incumbents in it if you were to move forward and select this one. And we'll talk about the two incumbents in one area in a bit here. But the background to this is that there's only a 6.7% variance. As you can see, that it it fulfills the requirements of the total population and the citizen voting age population. There isn't in any of your districts, a majority minority district. Everybody's spread kind of equally throughout your district in some parts, even though there might be concentrations. It balances out to where no particular trustee area has a majority minority area. So again, a lot of the focus here is on total population and how it shapes up in the geographical world here. So this is one of the scenarios. We can go back to them at will, but I wanted to get through the three different scenarios that are new so you guys can take a look at them. Another one was scenario 2B. Slightly different census blocks here as compared to this one. You can see as we shift back and forth what's different. We had to play with these areas here to make the population work and to tidy some things up. And so in scenario 2B, there's only one area that has two trustees as the incumbents in it because one of the directors fell into this area 5. And then this area here, which is area 2, has one. The yellow one has one. And so there's only one vacancy here. And perhaps the shifting of the census blocks here is more appealing to you for one reason or another. We can talk about that. And then the background to it is it's a 7% variance. So pretty much like the last scenario 2A. Again, there's nothing that jumps out at you other than that we follow the statutory requirements of having the total population match as close as possible under 10% variance. And, you know, that's about it. We can compare these as we go into the weeds. Then scenario 2C also had some modifications. In this scenario, as you compare it to the other one, area 5 changes a lot. Area 5 and 2 here, I think. Yeah, so these are the primary changes. And in this situation, you have these areas intact, drawn up with different census blocks to kind of keep things intact as you had instructed us, you found more appealing to your community. But then this area 5 here, this conceptual area, would have two trustees in this, whereas the others would just have one and one vacancy here. So we tried to follow, you know, more so the neighborhoods. I know the feedback that was given and why we did these scenarios were that, you know, they kind of follow the not crossing over the Los Osos Valley Road to the south, like the scenario 2 did. Some of these push more into the southeast and others push to the southwest, but they're essentially tidier versions of scenario 2, or different versions, I should say, based on the feedback received. And for 2C, the variance is about 5%. So it's slightly less variance than the others. Again, as far as a majority-minority district goes, that doesn't happen here, but this is the breakdown of this particular conceptual area should you decide to go with 2C. That said, I've showed you 1, I've showed you 3. Maybe we just go back to the original 2 so you see, again, the feedback that we received was make some of these areas, make it more neighborhood-friendly, and then get rid of this chunk here. Wasn't a big
I'm really glad you got rid of that note or whatever that is. That's much better.
Okay, so that said, that's what we focused on to make this tidier. I will tell you that whatever version you are leaning towards or want to select, I think in each case there's going to be two directors in one area, and you know, we don't have to decide tonight, but I do want to bring up the issue of sequencing. That's something we'll work with council and general manager on, because when, you know, going into this, when you look to choose one of these for adoption, you might want to have that in the back of your mind here, because there's different ways to do it. So we'll circle back on that piece, but based on what I showed you, is there something that you had questions on or a preference or questions you want answered specific about any particular scenarios that we drew up, either the originals or the updated versions?
I like these, both of these better, the 2B and 2C, okay. But let me open it up for some board feedback.
Well, I like 2A better personally, so.
And I would agree with that. That's funny. I was just thinking 2A I can kind of make sense of. 1 kind of still makes sense. 2, I like 2A. I appreciate the additional detail.
This is Matthew. I agree that those maps make a little more sense as far as the communities and the different neighborhoods, but I really think that we need to be thinking about the sequencing and how that's going to play out. And as far as I can see, I favor option 3 to keep each board member in a separate area. That way that there's, we don't have to deal with any of the sequencing problems, and we get some time to see what's going to happen with the case in Santa Monica.
I like that option as well.
But would that essentially be the same as preserving the status quo and not going to district elections? I know that's going to cost potentially some money, but this is going to cost some money too to sequence elections and all that. I'd like to hear that kind of analysis if we're looking at waiting for the outcome of Santa Monica.
Okay, should we go into hear more about the sequencing? We don't have any, I don't think we have any big problems with any of the maps, right? They just seem better. There's not that weird nose. So let's hear about
to Chuck's question about the status quo. I think it puts us in districted elections, but it makes it so we don't have to deal with sequencing. So yeah, I agree. We should hear more about that. Maybe is that a Jeff Minnery question?
Oh yeah, I'd love any input Jeff would have.
Good afternoon, President, directors of the board. I think in regards to sequencing, Mr. Lopez and I have discussed it. There are a couple different ways to go about it. I will defer to Mr. Lopez to explain what other districts are doing. We can work with whatever your board decides to do on this. But Mr. Lopez?
Yeah, and you know, any of these conceptual voting areas achieve the goal of creating areas where the directors are elected. You no longer have an at-large system. So whatever you select, I think you're achieving the whole point of going forward with this. I don't stay abreast of the Santa Monica case, nor I know what people are going to do before or after that, or what's going to ultimately happen. But yes, if this version was selected, there's, you know, it's pretty self-explanatory. When people's term in, they can run again. They all have an area that they reside in, so they can run. But if you go to any of these other scenarios, let's say, what was the other one, 2A, that people liked, because it's a little bit cleaner version of the first two. There is different ways to do this. So, you know, depending on who you talk to, whether it be council or board members, everybody has an opinion, but you can do it either way. I've seen it done both. I used to think back in the day that the easiest thing was just, you know, the 2022 person, their term expires, and when the 2024 person, their term's up, then they can run again in 2024. In some cases, that seems like the cleanest thing, but I've heard a lot of other counsel, and there's different reasons for why you would do this, but I've heard other situations where the board agrees that everybody run in 2022 in this area. Okay, so it just so happens that in this conceptual area, there's a 2022 term and a 2024, same situation below it. So if you agreed to run in 2022 and the 2022 person won, then this person still serves out at large for 2 years. They get a 4-year new term. Why do that? Well, because there's some feedback we received is that this person has an unfair advantage because they're an incumbent, and then this person or someone else would have to run an incumbent against an incumbent, which is tougher. This person's argument is, hey, I didn't do anything wrong. Why can't I just serve out to 2024 and then we have elections? So there's different ways to look at it. And what drives some of these not so much for your district. A lot of times there's a impetus to fill these vacant areas because maybe there's a majority minority district and the board really wants to get this filled. In your case, these will get filled either in 2022 or 2024 or some combination of that. You can't have more than five directors, but this process doesn't shorten or elongate your term. So if you guys agreed to say, well, when the 2022 people drop off, that's that. And then these two 2024 directors serve their term at large. They continue to serve at large, but you'll have two vacancies here, and therefore you can have elections in the two vacant areas. Similarly, if you choose another route and say, look, we want to have 2022 elections in each of these areas. If the 2024 person doesn't win, they serve at large for 2 years still. The 2022 person resets, and that's that. And in that situation, these vacant areas wouldn't be filled until 2024.
Okay, but I missed that a little bit. Can you explain sure. that again?
So let's say that you agree that you want to have elections in these areas here in 2022.
Okay.
If the 2022 person wins, then they have a new four-year term. This person still serves at large for two more years.
Okay.
Okay. So in that case, since you still are going to have five directors, these vacant areas remain vacant until such time at 2024 when two people drop off. Does that make sense?
Okay, now, I follow.
Conversely, you can have elections in 2022 and the 2022 person loses. Well, then this person resets from 2022 to 2024, I believe, or 2026. They fall off, so that frees up a vacant area where you can have an election. But that's something that you need to decide, because when you approve the maps, you're going to approve some form of sequencing as needed. It's a lot more of a headache when you're going through school districts, but special districts don't have so much, you know, other bodies that want to know why and this and that. So usually in your resolution, it's mentioned when you adopt these, and based on what the general manager and council talk about and what they suggest, what's best for you and your feedback, because there are different ways to look at it. You know, this person is going to say it's not fair, I have to wait till 2024. This person is going to say it's not fair that I have to run against them in 2022. But that's part of what you have to agree upon, is the sequencing for elections. If, for example, you choose this area, or you, let's say you like this map, then you would have to only do that in area four, because everyone else is in another area. And then, you know, when one of these people drop off, then you can have an election here. So hopefully that makes a little more sense. There are different ways to do it based on how your agency and council and general manager communicate to you and what you communicate to them and how you guys choose to do that. I wanted to bring it up in open session because it might affect how you guys vote for some of these areas. And it's an important thing to consider as we head into the last phase of this, if there are, you know, two incumbents now in one area or vacant areas. Were there any questions on that piece?
What if nobody runs in a district and there's like we get through the sequence even, but nobody runs in five?
Mm-hmm.
Or
whatever. Oh, yeah, that's a great question. So let's say you guys figure out all these other areas, right? This person runs again, they get elected, somebody runs or doesn't run, you have at large, or you have a new election. These areas, you can have elections when there's less than five directors through the sequencing process. If nobody runs, then the board of directors can appoint somebody that resides within this area, okay, to be the director for this area. And as I said before, sometimes it's counterintuitive. You're like, well, nobody, if we have trouble getting people to run, why does this process change it any? A lot of times we found over the years that when people have a more narrow area, their own neighborhood or community, or you know, where they walk their kids to school or their dog, they find that it's easier to maybe run for a board because they don't have this whole area to account for. They don't have to spend that much on campaigning. And maybe there's something relevant in their neck of the woods that makes them really incentivized to run, whereas before they didn't. So I haven't seen that problem happen in reality, but with so many districts this year, we might face that in really small districts. I'm not sure how it would play out in your district, but if it did, then the board would have the power to appoint someone that resides within that district. It doesn't have to be a man or woman, a minority, a non-minority. It just has to be somebody that resides within the district.
This is Matthew. I think that's, you know, speaking through the sequencing, I think that's exactly why we should stick with option three. And not have that happen. We are lucky to have the board members that we have. I think it's the majority of our board ran unopposed at this point. So I see no advantage to our community to have more than one board member in each district.
Okay. President Womack, may I make one comment?
Yes.
So if your board chooses a map that requires sequencing, what I would anticipate would be that Mr. Lopez and Ron and I would get together and present your board with options as to how to handle sequencing. And we could certainly accomplish that, and your board would be able to choose between what you think of the best version of those choices is. But ultimately, I would keep in mind, following up on Director Forcroy, is that additional elections cost money, and also a disruption of a functioning board costs money to the district as well. So just to keep those are just my initial thoughts.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate that. And I can kind of see if we stick with scenario three, we just bypass sequencing. Shall we open it up for public comment?
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're on your phone, please dial *9. And if you're on your computer, please raise your hand. There's no public comment at this time.
All right. I wish we had some more public comment from people that live in the neighborhoods, but decisions get made by the ones who show up. Okay. So bringing it back to the board, at this point, do we make any decisions, or is this just a further information and chance to give feedback, or?
Well, if I could chime in, I think what we, what we want from the board is to narrow this down. Just like you heard in our special meeting earlier, the fewer maps that we'll be looking at our next meeting, the better, so we can make a final decision. If you're willing to make a final decision tonight, that'd be great as well. But if we're not sure, if the board isn't sure, let's try to get it down to the fewest maps that we can.
And then do we make a final decision? Or it seems to me if we're supposed to have five hearings, we should save the final decision for the fifth hearing.
Well, at the next hearing, if we have a final map, Jeff, you may need to chime in here. Do we need a resolution and to adopt? Is that the process for this?
Yeah, I would suggest a resolution to adopt the map and finalize the districting process.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
So that sounds good. It would be in that resolution, if you chose a map that required sequencing, as part of that, we would determine the sequencing process. So that's not something that's left to be handled after the fact.
All right, good point. Thank you. Are there any maps that we definitely don't like that we would like to eliminate? Is that an easier way to start?
I can make my position pretty clear. This is Matthew. I only support map number three.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I can do the same thing. I only support map 2A.
Okay. Chuck?
I like both 2A or 3 or not changing at all. I'm not changing to a district by district election. I'm not sure that we
have to do this.
I agree with Chuck on that thought process also. That was one of the things that I was going to raise a little bit later. But yeah,
I mean, just looking at maps, 2A makes the most sense. 3 makes the most sense from the existing situation. But whether we even move into this, maybe I think needs to be discussed more. Or let's talk about it more as we move through the process.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. I mean, Chuck, I talked about it a little bit at the last meeting. And what I took away was that we had no real option without facing basically an instant 30,000 dollar bill, essentially.
Yeah.
President Womack, may I chime in?
Please. I almost asked.
So thank you. So redistricting is the safest way to keep you in what is called the safe harbor. The way the law currently sits is that, yes, you are in a position where your safest bet is to move forward. Right now, we are waiting on what happens with the Santa Monica case that might change the landscape and where what your board's options are. Certainly, depending on how case law develops, you would be in a position to go back to at-large election should you decide to do so at a later date. But currently, the best I can give you is that the safe bet is to move forward with redistricting. There is a risk that you could receive a demand letter forcing you into a position of redistricting, and then we're back in this discussion again.
Thank you, Jeff.
Because we're not in a, I just can't imagine that your agency, push comes to shove, wants to fight a legal battle over this issue.
No, I don't think so.
Right.
And I would.
Oh, go ahead, Troy.
I was just saying, we would add, if we didn't do this, like we already did expense on consulting on these maps and then 30,000 on top of that. You know, my perspective is map 3 and map 2A. I think map 2A also has expenses to it that we mentioned before on sequencing and stuff like that. But if we were to, I guess, narrow down the maps that Ron's requesting, it sounds like 2A and 3, and we kind of focus on those and have discussions around those if the board agrees on and kind of narrowing down, and then we can discuss it more.
And President Womack, I'm sorry to interrupt, but if the board decides to narrow it down to those two options as identified by Director Gottschall, I would suggest then at the next board meeting, along with the bringing back scenario 2A, we would bring proposals for how sequencing could be established so that you'd have all the information you need at that time to make a final decision.
Okay, that sounds like a good idea.
Well, right. how much are we gonna spend on figuring out sequencing for the next meeting?
I would imagine that would be staff time.
We're talking about lawyer time and a consultant time.
Ron?
Yes, it would be Jeff's time, and I'd have to confer with David in terms of what his scope of work is and if that would be included or not.
Okay.
So I don't have a price. Depends how long that takes.
Okay, hopefully it wouldn't take real long. So Matthew, are you kind of suggesting we just go with one or?
Well, I don't think if we can come to a majority of us that favor one of these options, and if that option ends up being C, I don't see why we would spend more time or effort chasing down 2A.
Okay. So do we kind of take a vote on 2A versus C and see how that lands?
Well, Director Womack, if I might, perhaps you would want to take, you already took public comment, didn't you?
I did. Okay, and nobody said anything.
Yes, I just recall. Thank you.
Oh, no, that's okay. I was hoping there was public comment, but not this time.
Were the scenarios scenario 2A or scenario 3?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I thought.
And then is your discussion with Ron about sequencing, is that included in our package?
You know, I don't think that it is, but I mean, I talk to Ron a lot, so I'll be happy to talk to him more for.
Okay, no, it's fine. I'm just asking the answer, and if that's, and the answer is no, then that's the answer. That's fine. So I don't know.
Chris, I'm going to try to move this along if I can.
Yes, please.
I'm going to make a motion that the board move forward with 2A along with the sequencing options and 3 for consideration at our next board meeting.
All right. Do I have here a second?
I will second that because I think that it's the most honest and transparent way in front of the community. If we just move forward with one that preserves our existing districts, I don't know if we'll hear chatter or not. You never know in this community what matters, except water, that kind of thing. But 2A makes a lot of sense, and the sequencing thing is difficult, but I don't think we're going to spend a whole lot of money figuring out the answer to that. So I'll second that.
All right. I appreciate Matthew trying to save us time and money, but
yes, absolutely.
It also might be a cost of doing business that we have to pay to get some help on this. And that's just, it is what it is. All right. So do I hear a vote on that motion?
Director,
do we take a roll call?
Yes.
Director Sesenia?
Yes.
Director Gatchel?
Yes.
Vice President Forcroy?
No.
President Womack?
Oh, it's hard. Yes. I could have gone the other way too. Okay.
Well, we narrowed it down to 2, and we'll have all the information available to make a decision at our next board meeting. So yeah. I think that's a good approach.
Right.
Yep. So thank you, David Lopez, for your presentation, and we'll see you next month.
Thank you both. Yeah, thank you all.
Thank you.
Okay. General action item, adjustment to general manager's compensation. So when we did our general manager review, the board agreed that we should give Ron a cost of living increase. I don't know if we wanna, probably shouldn't make Ron talk on his own cost of living increase, but do we have any discussion or comments from the board?
This is Matthew. I wanted to just point out, thanks real quick to Marshall for setting up the GM evaluation. That was a really helpful tool as usual. And, you know, out of our evaluation, Ron, obviously he scored very highly. Everybody had very positive things to say. And I feel that I can say this, that the whole board really appreciates the job he's been doing. So this was something I think we had talked about the year prior. And I think Ron definitely deserves this extra compensation. So thank you, Ron, for all the hard work and the great job you've been doing.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Very well said, Matthew. Do any of the other directors want to chime in?
Yeah, I would say one other thing, if I could just briefly. When this came up for evaluation earlier this year, Ron was very, very cost sensitive. So I appreciate him doing that. And I think that giving him at least the same cost of living increase that our other employees get is worthwhile.
Thank you, Marshall. Okay. Any other directors? All right, let's open it up for public comment.
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're on your phone, please dial *9. And if you're on your computer, please raise your hand. There's no public comment at this time.
Okay, I'll bring it back to the board. Is there any other comments or discussion?
I have an additional comment. This is one of the easier decisions I've ever had to make on this board. And a little known fact, some people know it, others don't. Our general manager was recently designated with a Lifetime Achievement Award by the nonprofit People Helping People here in town for his work, not only through the CSD, but through his church, through his lifetime involvement with our community. They did not recognize the fact that I think he used to play guitar with Tink and the Babylonians, but other than that, they covered it pretty well. And so, we're lucky. This is an easy decision.
Thank you, Chuck. I appreciate you adding. And
go ahead. Sorry, Chris.
Oh, okay. I just want to say, the financials have been getting much better over the years, but Ron's made them so much more clear and added a lot of tables, which I love, that you can get a lot of information, in a small space. And he's just made it so much easier to know what's going on. So absolutely, we want to keep him and make him feel appreciated. And go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to make the motion to move that the board approve a 2% performance increase in the general manager's compensation effective November 5th, 2021.
Thank you.
I'll gladly second.
Thank you. Roll call vote.
Vice President Forcroy.
Yes.
Director Sesenia.
Yes.
Director Gatchel.
Yes.
Director Ohilski.
An enthusiastic yes.
President Womack.
Absolutely yes. Okay. General action item B, selection of San Luis Obispo County Integrated Waste Management Authority Special District Alternate Representative. Let's open this up for, are you doing any presentation, Ron?
I've got a real quick presentation. Go to the next slide, please.
Oh, thank you.
The SLO chapter of the California Special District Association is responsible for coordinating the selection of representatives on the IWMA Board of Directors. The IWMA requested the chapter fill the vacant alternate position we're discussing tonight. Upon the request, the chapter requested nominations from districts with solid waste authority, which our district has, and two nominations were received. One is Daniel Burgess, a director from Heritage Ranch CSD, the other Tom Gray, a director from Cambria CSD. Including the board packet were the bios for each individual. Next slide, please. So what we're asking from you tonight is to choose one of these individuals that we can recommend or vote for, cast our ballot with the CSDA for the alternate position. And with that, I can answer any questions, and I know Marshall's knowledgeable on this as well.
All right, thank you. Yeah, Marshall, you're our...
Yes, I'm the president of the CSDA, so... I think Ron expressed it very, very well. We had a resignation from the IWMA, and we're trying to fill that vacancy. And we had two nominations when we went through the nomination process with the two candidates, Dan or Tom. And so I think all you can really do is read their resumes or their election material that they've added as exhibits to the staff report.
Oh, you don't have a preference?
No, I'm not going to recommend one over the other.
Okay. Is there any comments from the rest of the board? Okay, I think we...
Chris, I mean, if you look at the two resumes, it's clear that Daniel has a lot more background in CSD world than Tom does. I mean, just from the things in the resumes that they submitted.
Okay.
I mean, Daniel's been a director for 13 years.
All right. Do I hear a motion then?
Did you take public comment?
Oh, okay. Let's open for public comment then.
If you'd like to make a public comment, please raise your hand. There's no public comment at this time.
Okay. Do I hear a motion? I don't think I can do it, so.
Well, I don't want to do it because I have to deal with these people.
Okay. Chuck, Matthew, or Troy, help us out.
All right, based on reading, looks like Daniel has the most experience, so I'll do a motion for, I move the board cast a vote for Daniel Burgers to fill the vacant alternate special district representative seat on IWMA and authorize staff to cast the vote on the district's behalf.
Thank you, Troy. Do I hear a second?
I'll second that. It's Matthew.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you, Matthew.
Okay. May I hear a roll call vote?
Director Gatchell.
Yes.
Director Forcroy.
Yes.
Director Zesenia.
Yes, you can tell I struggle when you have two qualified candidates.
Director Ohilski.
Yes.
President Womack.
Yes. All right. Excellent. Now let's open it for public comment for items not on the agenda.
If you'd like to make a public comment, please raise your hand. There's no public comment at this time.
Okay. On to administrative and committee reports. Do we have Fire here?
Yes, he's in the panelists. I just need him done. Paul, you just have to unmute yourself, or if you're on your phone, press star. Oh, you got it.
How's that?
Perfect.
Oh, there we go. Hi, Paul.
Hello. I'm pulling up my report real quick here. All right. So for this period, we had 152 calls between September 22nd and October 21st. We're right on pace with where we've been in years past. Slight uptick, but nothing significant to report. We're still doing the COVID-19 pandemic precautions around the station. So if you do come by, make sure that you bring your mask. And if we do go to calls that have any indication of COVID-19, we'll still be taking extra personal protective precautions. Special programs and projects. New this year, we're going to start holding sidewalk CPR events throughout the county. Los Osos Community Service District, South Bay Fire will be holding two, one in the month of February and one in the month of August. The intent is just to expose the public to CPR, make it less of a foreign thing. And we'll be focusing on teaching hands-only CPR and AED familiarization so that folks can grab the public AEDs and use them in conjunction with some hands-only CPR. So we are finding that early compression is definitely helping out with survival rates in CPR patients. So we'll be leading the charge for that in Los Osos, and then you'll be seeing a pop-up around the county as well. We happily have offered 13 reserve firefighters positions, and we'll be setting to the upcoming academy in November. And so we're looking forward to getting some more folks online, so you'll see some new faces wandering around town on the fire engines. And we are still accepting applications. We're going to keep that the application process open. As folks attrition out or get new jobs, we want to be sure that we have a good candidate pool to replace them with. So that is the plan moving forward. Just to go back to the statistical report, there was a request from one of the board members to look at calls that were occurring in the Palisade area near the library. Year to date, we've had 17 calls. And that was when I ran the statistics back on the 28th or 21st of the month. So three in this last reporting period and three in the previous month, primarily some false alarms for people seeing smoke in the area and then some medical aids, but not a significant impact to our workload. That'd be the end of my report. Any questions?
Terrific, Paul. And thanks for the follow-up on the old question. Any questions from the board?
This is Matthew. Thanks, Paul. Yeah, I had asked about the medical aids over in and around Palisades. That, for me, walking around the community, that's the number one question I've been getting. And obviously, the population over there is definitely dwindling. So I appreciate you pulling out those reports and looking at the statistics. It doesn't look like there was a real high number of calls out there and not a huge impact probably to your crews. So yeah, I really appreciate you taking
that street. Not so much, you know, as far as, you know, the unhoused in the area, there might be a more of an increase if we track that statistic, you know, if they were unhoused or not. We do not track that statistic, but there is an impact. But as far as the encampment area over there, I would say it's a minimal impact to our operation.
Yeah, and my thought was to just look at the data. You know, what I get on a pretty regularly basis, whether it's at the hardware store, the grocery store, at the beach, is you know, do you know what's going on down there? There's, you know, the paramedics have to be over there resuscitating people from overdoses constantly. I get that kind of talk quite a bit. I've had that same comment at least four times. So I just wanted to follow up on it and see what the actual numbers were. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, sure. And I do know that there's, you know, there's a lot of active comment on some of the Facebook pages and neighborhood applications and stuff like that. We don't participate as the fire department in any of those. There's always speculation as to what's going on over there, but to date, you know, there's really been no significant incident that's occurred over on that in that area.
All right, excellent. Any other questions?
Yes, this is Chuck. I have questions about the reserve firefighter program. We hired 13 in October. How many do we usually have on staff at a time? How often are we hiring? How many reserves are with us? How long? Just questions about the program in general.
Yeah, so the 13 in October was who we were extending offers to. The 13 that were actually finishing the process and actually filling out their paperwork for what I'm reporting this time. So we offered 13, and then this time we're actually hiring them. So typically we run about 20 reserves right in that neighborhood. Most of the ones that attrition out are due to the program success and that they're getting jobs other places. We were down to about 11, getting down to about 9 with some more resignations coming up with folks getting jobs other places, but we're trying to keep that number right around 20.
Okay, so we have a substantial portion of our force being reserves. Okay,
Yes, just, and what I'll say to the folks that we're bringing on, a good number of the folks that we're bringing on have experience in other places, whether it's with San Luis Obispo County Fire in the paid call program, or Morro Bay Reserves, or the local ambulance company. So we're getting a good group of folks that are coming in, and then we also have some folks that work for local businesses that are coming in. So a good spread across the board with the new candidates.
Thank you.
Excellent. Any further questions? All right. Thank you, Paul.
See you next
month. It looks like we might have a sheriff's report.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Welcome. Good day. I'm glad you're here.
Heather, let me get it set up. I'm Ian Dowdy. I'm actually 5 hours into my first shift at the Coast Station. So
they just threw you into the fire.
I got the email to come here about 2 hours ago. So, but I am from Los Osos, born and raised, and I've worked at this station in the past. So I'm happy to be back.
Thanks.
So what we have for the period of October, calls for service were 65, which was pretty similar to last year, which was 67. We had 7 calls for service for assault or battery, 36 calls for disturbance, but that can range from anything from noise complaint to reports of people fighting, 11 calls for service for burglary, 13 for theft, 2 for vandalism, 1 for mail theft, 1 for a phone scam, 13 for suspicious circumstances, which covers a wide variety, 31 traffic enforcement stops or contacts by deputies, and 25 preventative patrol activity, which will generally be extra patrols. I know from speaking with the deputies, it seems like Palisades, a lot of the folks there have moved to the Kansas Safe Parking, and it seems like that's working out fairly well. Any questions or was there anything left over from a previous meeting that I can help answer or anything like that?
Any questions from the board? I think you're getting off easy.
All right.
I really appreciate your giving the report. Have a good evening.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. California Highway Patrol report.
I am here. How are you tonight?
Good. Thank you for joining us.
No problem. So this is the first time I've joined the Los Osos CSD meeting. So just a quick introduction. My name is Greg Klingenberg. I'm the commander of the San Luis Obispo CHP office and have been the commander since April 1st of last year. Basically, I actually started a couple of weeks prior to that when COVID was starting. And so my time as the commander there has been basically since COVID started. So and then through all of the protests that we encountered through the summer as well. Getting back to sort of what normal operations, if there is such a thing in the highway patrol world or in the law enforcement world, we're sort of settling into what it looks like to operate under COVID conditions. And we're thankful to at least been through thankful to be done with really some of the protests that we encountered over the summer as well. So that's just sort of real quick, a quick introduction. I've been with Highway Patrol for 31 years. I've worked on the Central Coast from Santa Maria to San Luis Obispo since 2006 with a two-year break. I didn't move. I was commuting with a two-year break working in Sacramento at our headquarters. But I've been on the Central Coast since 2006. So all of that to say, thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it. I have brought some statistics. I use these statistics with the five citizens advisory committees that we have throughout the county. Obviously focus on each of the geographic areas that we cover. And so tonight we'll focus on the Los Osos area, the beats that surround, that are in and surround Los Osos. So for the month of October, we made 3 DUI arrests. We had 7 collisions occur. While two of those 7 were DUI collisions. So we actually made 5 DUI arrests. The 3 DUI arrests were just traffic stops that turned into a DUI arrest. And then, like I said, we had 2 DUI collisions and then 5 collisions that did not involve a DUI driver. I can get into the weeds of any of those collisions if you would like. I forgot one thing. For the beats that's around, that are in and around Los Osos, we issued 61 citations, traffic citations for the month of October. I don't have a preference about, how detailed I get, but I can certainly get into whatever detail you would like about that.
Maybe I'll answer
any other questions you may have.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe I'll let the board ask if they want detail or further detail.
Sure.
Any questions from the board?
This is Matthew. Captain Klingenberg, thank you for coming. I really appreciate it.
And sure.
Thank you, Laura, for getting that set up for us. I think I was definitely one of the persons to ask if we could get CHP to give a report and an update once in a while. I know the second most common questions and discussions I get into in and around Los Osos, involve traffic speeds through town, especially on LOVR through town, up and until 9th Street or so. So yeah, on those 61 citations, is there an area where that's concentrated, or is that like from South Bay Boulevard all the way to LOVR? Could you give a little background on kind of what locations and kind of what your patrols look like and how you're helping to calm traffic?
Sure. So we have, the San Luis Obispo area is broken up into beats, and Los Osos includes our beat 2, and includes maybe a little bit also of our beat 1. And I say that, well, we have a couple of line beats as well, and line beats are basically heavier traveled roads, which would include Los Osos Valley Road. Okay, so I say that because when I run our program that that gives me the statistics, it will give me statistics for Los Osos Valley Road, and then it will give me statistics for a wider area that is in and around Los Osos. It does not focus on specific streets in Los Osos, other than, like I said, LOVR. And Highway 1, for example, I can narrow those statistics down. I can't necessarily narrow those statistics to LOVR and 9th or LOVR and Turi or LOVR and South Bay. I can't do that necessarily. And I also don't have the ability to break down citations. How many speeding tickets were this month in Los Osos? How many seatbelts tickets? How many cell phone tickets? How many registration tickets? Now, I use those 4 categories because those are a lot of the categories that we write citations for. Certainly, mechanical violations would be included in that. But those are some of the major categories where we issue our citations within those 61. So I have to apologize for not being more specific about that. We just don't, we write so many as a department when they give us our ability to search these. This is better than we've ever had as far as individuals being able to go in and search for statistics related to citations that we issue without doing hand searches and going individually ticket by ticket. This is the most ability that we've had to be able to do this. So while I'm thankful on one hand, I guess I have to apologize that I can't be as specific as a lot of community members might like.
Well, that makes sense. Could you talk about what your coverage looks like in and around our community?
Well, what do you mean?
Like as far as your officers and their patrols, I mean, do we have, I really don't understand that exactly, but I mean, like we know the sheriff sure. has a certain amount of deputies on call from San Simeon to Avila or whatever.
Okay.
And, so what does that look like from the CHP side?
Yeah. So I have to be a little bit careful about this. So we don't generally talk about how we deploy our officers. I can tell you this, that Los Osos is specifically covered from, well, not just Los Osos proper, but from LOVR and Foothill Boulevard through really up through all the way Highway 1 up to Harmony. That area is specifically covered by an officer on most days from 6 in the morning until 10 o'clock at night. Our staffing is reduced after 10 o'clock at night, where we will not have an officer specifically dedicated to that beat.
Sure. Okay. So
on graveyards, our staffing is reduced, but on day shift and afternoon shift, we generally, I'm saying generally because another discussion, and I don't want to talk too much, but another discussion is we have lost a significant percentage of officers over the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And because of the pandemic and our process for hiring, we have been greatly affected in refilling those positions. And that's not been the case for San Luis Obispo for many, many years. We're operating with much fewer officers over the last 2 years than we have in the previous, I'm going to just guess, so the previous 15 to 20 years. That's why I say generally we have an officer dedicated to that beat. Sometimes we have to have an officer come from a farther distance away just because of the amount of officers that I have working on that particular day.
Sure. No,
trying to be as
specific
as I can.
Well, I don't want to have you give away all your secrets or anything. I just to get an idea that's really helpful to me, and I can give back some feedback or, give back some information when I get that feedback. The feedback that I get from the community is looking to calm traffic. So our core area is walkable, bikeable, those kinds of things. And I appreciate everything you guys do, definitely. So I wanted to add that. Thank you.
And I don't take it any other way. I appreciate what you're saying. I will add that we have a two new motor officers assigned to our office. While they were not in addition to our current staffing, they're just part of our current staffing. They were just basically switched from cars to motors. I'm utilizing them to target specific areas in the county. Obviously it has to move around, but Los Osos Valley Road is one of those areas that we have targeted. I believe I might have some notes from my last Los Osos Citizens Advisory Committee. And they were requesting maybe using those motor officers, using those motor officers possibly around maybe some of the schools in Los Osos in and around the residential areas as well. So what we do is we'll have those two officers maybe team up with a couple of other motor officers from our neighboring Santa Maria office, and they'll come and do a saturation patrol for a period of hours. Those are things that we are definitely doing. And Los Osos is on our list of making sure that we move those move those focused patrols around and make sure that they spend time in and around Los Osos.
Well, thank you again. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. I hope I didn't talk too much. I apologize.
Oh, not at all. We're glad to have you. And yeah, you're just answering questions. Are there any other further questions from the board?
Yeah, right. This is Chuck. I want to say thank you, Matthew, for the questions. There's a lot of basics that maybe a lot of people in the community don't understand. We've got a lot of sheriff's department vehicles around the area, but I don't think they're charged with traffic infractions. I'm not sure where the line even, where that is. And I know that CHP has far fewer staff. And yet our main complaint is just get out in Los Osos Valley Road, even between South Bay Boulevard and 9th Street. And man, I think you could fund a whole, yeah, it's just, it's tough. It's tough. And so I appreciate your being here. I appreciate you being here.
No problem. I just want to clarify one thing in your comment. Any of the citations that we write, none of those funds go to the Highway Patrol. None of those are. All of those
I didn't mean that's the way things work. We don't want things to work that way.
I just want to make sure that that's clear. Yeah. Whatever jurisdiction that we're in is where those funds are generally go to. So,
yeah, that would be not a good incentive.
No. We're not after a speed trap. We're not after that. We're just after some decent speeds being driven. And it gets frustrating at times because we've got way more sheriffs in uniform than CHP.
And they help us a ton. They help us a ton. Just their visibility.
Helps
absolutely. Us a ton. And they make stops. They make traffic stops. As Sergeant Dowdy pointed out, they made, I believe he said, 31 traffic stops as well. That's almost 100 traffic stops in a month. And sometimes those traffic stops are for different things that they might be looking for, but sometimes those are traffic violations as well. We're very, very thankful for the Sheriff's Department and how they help us.
Thank you for that reminder. Yeah, we get frustrated about people who don't have regard for their community.
That is for sure.
All right. Thank you, Captain Klingenberg, for your report. We appreciate having you here tonight.
No problem. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Next, we have the general manager report. Ron?
Yes, thank you. What I typically do is kind of circle back to the utilities report as well. I just wanted to provide an update on program CWEL. That we did get our minor use permit submitted to the county and had a consultation with them. But I also wanted to say that I attended the LOCAC Land Use Committee meeting last Monday night, where they forwarded on to LOCAC, which will be on November 18th, supporting our project, the program CWEL, over on Bay Ridge. In terms of, and then just real quick, our 8th Street Upper Well, Aquifer Well, we're still kind of in limbo on supply chain issues, so I don't have a start date for the actual work on that project yet. And the 16th Street South Tank Rehab is on our consent agenda tonight. As for my general manager's report, I wanted to say that our 2020-2021 financial audit, we've got our draft report, and I'm really happy to say that we have no findings or internal control issues. It's on schedule to get to the board in time in January for approval. I did attend a couple of interesting meetings this last month. One was the Countywide Water Action Team, which, if you recall, is the membership is most of the water purveyors in the county that are connected to the water infrastructure within the county. Los Osos has been asked to participate because of our vulnerability and our trying to achieve resiliency here. So anyway, some of the big topics right now are regional desalination project. we're going to continue work on that, and I'll keep you updated as that moves forward. That's a really long-term project. We're looking at a planning and construction horizon out 15 to 20 years. So you got to start now to grow a tree if it's going to make a difference. Another interesting one that has invited is a brand new group that is called the Seawater Intrusion Information Exchange. These were representatives from Santa Cruz, Monterey, and San Luis Obispo County. It's a great group. We have a lot of common issues, and that we're going to try to support each other in getting grant funding, recognition for the emergencies that are occurring along our coast in our coastal groundwater basins. And I'll provide more information on that as we progress. We just had our initial meeting. At our last Parks and Rec Advisory Committee meeting, we had renewed interest, or we're going to reinvigorate our process to get the dog park discussions going. Interestingly enough, there was a lot of buzz on social media, Facebook and Nextdoor, regarding the dog park, and we're actually gaining some momentum, getting a lot of public comments. I'm getting excited about that one, getting organized with some local nonprofits and community service groups to actually make that project happen. I know there's still some timing issues with the Habitat Conservation Plan, but we need to start now if we're going to be ready to apply for grants and have a semi-shovel ready project so we can qualify. So again, that's very exciting. And then lastly, this week we had a meeting with our state senator, John Laird. This was organized by the California Community Service Special or County Special Districts Association Communities. I can talk from here. CSDA, sorry about that.
No worries.
And five special districts were invited. That included us, Cambria, Heritage Ranch, South County Sanitary, and Oceano. We were able to provide Senator Laird with some of the challenges both both water and wastewater districts are having, some of the regulatory hurdles that we face, how grant funding we get cut out of because a lot of earmarks for smaller agencies goes to agencies like over in the Central Valley. And we talked about future water supplies, including desal. And he was very excited about our seawater intrusion information exchange group and actually wants to have his staff be involved in that. Always want to keep on the radar a drought reminder. Even though it has rained, we have not exited our stage 3 drought. Encourage people to cut back their irrigation or turn it off, and please check for leaks. And with that, I can answer any questions.
Thank you, Ron. So I guess I'd like to, can I hear a little more detail on the Seawater Intrusion Committee? That sounds interesting. What were common concerns?
Well, a lot of it revolved around funding. I think one of the comments, or several of the people in the meeting comments, is we cannot afford, these small districts like us cannot afford the money it would take to actually solve the problem. And so that was the message, one of the messages I took to Senator Laird was that concern. The others are really around how you deploy recycled water, what's working, what's not working. A lot of it talked about optical imaging, doing the aerials to track where the seawater intrusion front is. A lot of them have the same issues we have, that technology doesn't work in urban areas. It's mostly good for rural areas for interference. So those were some of the things we did talk about.
Oh, thank you. I was just curious. Does anyone else have questions for Ron?
I would just like to say that's exciting that we're talking with people from Monterey and Oxnard. They've been dealing with these issues a lot longer than we have on a much larger scale. And so it's good to have information exchange, and good luck with the dog park / community garden.
Yep.
Thank you.
I would comment on that. I did see someone from the community post about the dog park on Facebook, support Los Osos, about our upcoming Park and Recs committee. So hopefully we'll get some more public comment on it.
I believe we will. There's been a lot of public comment on social social media, as well as we've directed them to our website. And Laura has been collecting quite a bit of public comment there as well.
The one thing I would add, comment upon is that early on, I saw a comment about no additional parking would be required to do this kind of thing. We've got the parking lot at the community center and on-street parking. And I would say that's still an issue that really is going to be very important. The community center parking lot is not necessarily up for grabs for dog park and community park, community garden sort of thing. So there's going to be a lot of information, misinformation, but it's exciting to have the interest. And so good luck.
Thank you. I think we're actually seeing some important partnerships that are going to be formed here in the next few months.
Good.
All right. Exciting. Any other director questions? Okay. Then moving on. So there's no Park and Recs meeting. So
there was a Parks and Rec meeting. I accidentally left the same thing up from last month. I apologize.
Oh, okay. Thank you for fixing it. Matthew?
Yeah, I think we talked about all of the parts about the dog park. So we basically discussed dog park and how to get that project moving again. Ron did a great job filling us in. The other item we discussed was the community plan and the parts of the community plan that affect parks and recreation in Los Osos. So Ron had done a great job of going through and pulling out all of that information, compiling it into one spot for the whole committee. And the committee is reviewing that, and we're going to discuss each part in sequence, basically, in the next few meetings, and look for ways that comments we can make back to the county and opportunities for the CSD to help in those efforts. And so our next meeting is in December.
December 14th.
All right. Well, that's exciting. I'm glad you guys are gearing up again. Any questions for Matthew? Okay. Chuck, you have anything you want to say about the Utility Advisory Committee?
Very quickly, Gene Scoville, I appointed him to the UAC. I hope that we've had some outreach with him. We still have one more vacancy. Troy, you need to appoint someone. And yep. I want to actually give just a hats off to a member of that committee, James Bishop. He gave a wonderful presentation at LOCAC a couple weeks ago on the water situation. They have their own water subcommittee now, and it was a wonderful presentation about seawater intrusion in general and got into specifics about our basin. I'm happy that he's part of our committee. And that's it.
All right, excellent. Thanks, Chuck. Any questions for Chuck? All right. Finance Committee was pretty short and sweet. I think we're out of there in 30 minutes. And it was just the regular approving the meeting minutes from the previous meeting. We recommend the board approve the warrant register. And the committee recommends that we receive and file the financial reports for September 30th. Any questions?
It probably went quick, Chris, because I wasn't there, right?
No, I was, I told Ron that like you showed me how it's done. So, all right, there's no ESAC this time,
Can I put a plug in for the next ESAC meeting?
Yes.
Which is on November, look at my calendar, 18th. Our relatively new county fire chief, Eddie Moore, is going to do a presentation on the direction that CAL FIRE is taking and how it relates to Los Osos. So we encourage people to attend. It should be a great presentation by Chief Moore.
Oh, excellent. I'm sure that'll be really great. I'm glad you reminded us that that would be happening. Yeah, I guess we finally got some rain, so he wasn't fighting the fires. He could come talk to us.
He's available.
All right, excellent. Do we have any director's announcements of district and community interest or reports on attendance, meetings, training programs, conferences, seminars?
Yes.
Yes, Marshall.
Thank you. Basin Management Committee. Mm-hmm. So we had our meeting, and for those of you on the board, I appreciate Ron giving me a pat on the back. The meeting took 3 hours, and we didn't even get to our executive director's report. So we took a number of actions, and the first action was the talking about the sustainable yield number and updating the sustainable yield number. So what we did is we received information on the updated sustainable yield and the calculations, and we approved the revised sustainable yield number of 2380, which is much less than the current 2670. So it went from 2670 to 2380. The results increase the basin yield metric to 0.83. Previously it was 0.73. So this is one of the things that will be addressed in the community plan water resource section, because now we've changed that. And before I go on to the other items, Ron, I just gave a brief overview. Is that good enough, you think?
I believe so, Marshall. It is. It's a big change, and I think it's a positive change that aligns all the metrics better in the basin, in our annual report and from the basin metrics.
Okay. Then the next thing we did was we authorized the use of grant pursuit contingency funds to prepare a water recycling fund program grant application, and we're submitting a request to the county for $150,000 in county funding for the development of a transient groundwater model. And Supervisor Gibson seemed to be in favor of doing that. And so we have the transient model as well as the solid state model. And then we reviewed and approved a proposal from SCI to provide additional funding options, assessment and analysis evaluation. And then we authorized Twin Cities Survey and Cleith Harris to complete a survey of the additional wells in the basin to improve the monitoring program data, and made a request to the county that they survey the wells in their monitoring program. And last not but least, we authorized the use of contingency funds for Cleith Harris geologists to evaluate the feasibility and cost of modifying existing wells to improve the monitoring of Zone E water quality. So those were the five items that the BMC acted on last meeting. I know Chuck was there. Well, it was a Zoom meeting, but I know Chuck attended, and I know Ron was there. So I don't know if either of you have anything to add to that.
That's a good synopsis, Marshall. That was a long meeting. The change in the basin yield metric, that's substantial, because it will require the county to update the community plan, which is already at the Coastal Commission waiting approval. So, you know, that kind of resets the clock on that whole process. It was a big deal. And I guess there's a question I would like to ask procedurally, and maybe Jeff would have to weigh in on this. Can a person who is leading a meeting, even if they are just a part of that board, that membership, can't they make a motion? If there is no motion coming from the board members, what prevents Marshall at a BMC meeting from making a motion? What prevents Christine tonight from making a motion?
Unless there has been adopted some sort of a rules of order that would preclude that, or the particular agency has bylaws that would preclude that, there is no prohibition for the chair from making a motion.
Okay, because there was a ripe moment, Marshall, where you were waiting for a moment, and I thought you could have made one. And we need to be active at that committee meeting. And I appreciate your leading that. That was a long, long meeting. There was so much accomplished. The BMC it's active, it's engaged, and it's good to see.
Yeah, I know the dead period you were talking about, Chuck.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Any further questions? All right. Were there any other meetings, Marshall, before I go move on? Okay.
I'll just add on the LOCAC piece. I know Carrie Brown gave an update around Title 19 and the work there that we would need to keep an eye on. Probably it sounded like two more months of work before public review, and they're delayed or late on that. And I think we kind of touched on the other stuff that was in LOCAC on high patrol and things like that. But that was kind of the big one that we didn't mention tonight, I think.
All right. Thanks, Troy, for bringing that up, Troy. Did we have any responses to previously asked questions? I don't think so, but let me ask just in case.
We do not have any.
Okay. Would anyone on the board like to pull anything from the consent agenda? All right. Shall we open the consent agenda up for public comment?
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're on your phone, please dial *9. And if you're on your computer, please raise your hand. There's no public comment at this time.
All right. Do I hear a motion?
Yep. I'll make a motion to receive and file the items on the
consent agenda?
No, not on the consent agenda. Oh. Sorry, my mind went blank. For the items on the administrative and committee reports and to approve the items on the consent agenda.
I'll second that, Matthew.
All right, thank you. Do I hear do we do a roll call?
Yes, we have a resolution on there.
All right.
Director Ohilski.
Yes.
Vice President Forcroy.
Yes.
Director Sesenia.
Yes, and thank you for the detailed report on the 16th Street tank rehabilitation, Ron.
Director Gatchell.
Yes.
President Womack.
Yes. All right. Do we have any future agenda items that anyone would like to add? Okay. Does anyone on the board have any closing comments?
Yeah, I'd just like to make a quick comment. Well, two, actually. I'd like to thank everybody for their hard work on that items on the Basin Management Committee, because I thought that Ron worked as hard on it as member of the staff. So I'd like to thank him and all the other staff members that worked on that. The other thing I wanted to point out for everybody's interest is speaking for the Chamber of Commerce, we are reinstituting our Christmas parade this year.
Yay!
Which we didn't have last year. So the Christmas parade will be on December 11th, Saturday at 10 o'clock. And the Christmas tree lighting will be the day before that at dark out on the corner there of Palisades and Los Osos Valley Road. We'll have some nibblers and some beverages for that for the kids. So anyways, we did the Christmas tree lighting last year, but nobody was invited other than me and Olivia and Bob Kreiser, who put it all up. But this year we're going to have the Christmas tree lighting and the parade. And the theme of the parade is, let me look. I got to pull the theme out. The theme of this year's parade is a parade of thanks.
All right. I love it. We're moving back towards normal.
Yeah.
So that's the theme for this year, a parade of thanks. Yeah. Christmas tree lighting on the 4th and the parade, or pardon me, Christmas tree lighting on the 10th and the parade on the 11th. I'm sorry.
All right. Thank you. Any other closing comment from the board?
Go ahead.
I was waiting for you, Chuck, to bring up the people helping people thing. You know how we got this. We know how this works, Chuck.
Well, that's exactly where I was going to go. Is it now that you've mentioned the parade? Yeah, people helping people will be putting on needs and wishes at the community center right afterwards. It's a wonderful event. But I also wanted to just say how much I appreciate this board. Matthew's comment earlier during the whole redistricting discussion about how well this is working. And I do appreciate that so much. This is a tough issue, and we'll work through it. But I do appreciate this board.
Yeah, me too. Troy, did you have a comment?
Yeah, just something that came to mind maybe for Laura. I don't know who's next for the LOCAC meeting, but it's on November 18th, the same as the ESAC committee meeting. So we have a scheduling conflict there.
It's actually Director Forkroy for the next meeting. And he's not on ESAC.
Okay.
I'll just have to go back to back there.
Well, thanks for bringing that up. That's a good comment.
Yeah, LOCAC's late in the evening. They don't start till 7.
Yep.
Well, he could do ESAC and LOCAC. I'd be
that's
fine
what,
with
that's
that.
What we're saying.
All right. Matthew, did you have anything? All right. So I would like to thank everybody's participation. Thank you for the board. I think we had a really good discussion. I appreciate everybody rallying and showing up for our 5 o'clock kind of emergency meeting. And I appreciate the public participation we had with that. And I do appreciate this board and all the work that everybody here does. And thank you also, Laura and Ron, for making things run so smoothly. And with that, I will adjourn the meeting. Have a good evening.
Good night, everyone.
Bye. Thanks, everyone.
Good night.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.